It is good to be in Father's house, and I want to thank Selena for that lovely reading she did this morning. You did a wonderful job, sweetheart. Thank you so much. She read my very favorite verse of all the Bible verses. My very favorite. Fear not. Just listen to the words. Fear not. The words from the Almighty God, the Creator universe. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. He knows my name. He knows your name. You are mine. He owns me. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And why? Because he says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. What a promise. Hallelujah. What a promise. You can't ask for any better than that. Well, earlier the week, I decided I wanted to dig in a newspaper I've read once in a while. And it's called The Daily Chronicles of Oz. UZ. And there's an article in there I read. A very prominent businessman. I guess by today's standards, he would probably have been a multimillionaire, like some other people we know. And his last name is Job. But what I read stunned me. It says here, and I'll just read it to you. He's become financially bankrupt in a very short time. And pretty soon, if we don't watch what we're doing here in this province is going to be bankrupt. Maybe our government could take a lesson from Mr. Job. It also says here it's been learned that this gentleman's home and property have been destroyed. So not only has he lost his money, he's bankrupt, he's lost his home. It's all gone, destroyed. His animals and servants, they were murdered by the Sabians and the Chaldeans. And oh my goodness, it even says here that his children were killed by a violent windstorm. And if that wasn't enough to add insult to injury, he's not in good health himself. Now, he's got three friends, God bless them. They gather around him to try and console him, but they're not doing a good job of it. And it says here that Mr. Job is quoted as saying, "My wife wanted me to curse God and die, but I told her that if he slay me, yes, I will trust him." Now, he's certainly going through a trial, isn't he? Huh? I wonder what he's going to do now. You think he's going to curse God and die? You know, folks, all of us in this room have gone through trials, are going through trials, and we will go through trials should the Lord tarry. And there's going to be difficult times. And it shouldn't surprise us because the Bible tells us that things are going to be that way. Job 14, 1, 5, and 7, and John 16 and 33. And we are in the end times. And as things become worse on the earth, the more trials and tribulations we're going to have. But when these trials and tribulations and temptations come, we have two ways in how we can react around these problems. We can either move toward God, or we can do the opposite. Move away from him. Now, some people might say, well, Alice, you know, you're only young at heart, and you're only 55. How dare you, folks? There's my age. Just turned 55. Not quite a month ago. And you haven't seen much in the way of trials and tribulations and temptations. How do you know what we've gone through? Folks, I don't know what you've gone through. And nobody will, only God himself and yourself. Because everybody goes through different trials and temptations and everybody reacts differently. But I know this past 2.5 years for me have been very trying. My dad is gone now 21 years. So I guess that's when it all started for me. But then 2.5 years ago, I lost my mom. Now, mom and I were very, very close. Matter of fact, we each had nicknames for each other. She was Lovey. And sometimes you've seen those on Facebook will see that I've often said how I miss Lovey. And her nickname for me was Little Miss Muffet. And we do things together. We go to Tim Hortons together. We'd sit and we'd chat. We go shopping together. And our greatest pastime was at Fabricville. And even now when I go into Fabricville, I still find it hard at times to go in. And then mom wasn't gone a year. That was in June of 2013. In April of 2014, my job was gone after 33 years. The company I worked for decided to downsize, and they were bought over by, they bought out another company. They merged with them to form one big company and decided they didn't need all these admin people. So I was given a nice severance package. I thank God for that. But let me tell you, when you get a severance package, guess what the government does? They takes more. God bless them. The government giveth and the government taketh away. That was in April. And I struggled with that. Because I felt not wanted. But my good friends of where I worked were upset. And I saw my boss. He's a man and he's not one that cries. And certain people know who I'm referring to. He cried that day. I see the tears rolling down his face. I knew that it wasn't their doing. It was a corporate decision from the mainland and the U.S. So I questioned God that whole 18 months. Now, there's nothing wrong with questioning the good Lord. Job did it. And it was during those 18 months that I knew I had to look for a job. I found out during those 18 months that, well, guess what? Number 3 came along and said, you don't have a good enough pension, company pension. Found out that unbeknownst to me, when they had switched me from one company to their other side of the company, they also changed our company pension from group benefit defined contributions, like a government employee, as my brother is one, would have gotten. I would have had a nice pension, perfect. But they switched it to a defined contribution. So that indicated then that when I found out my pension was only going to be about, if I took it that early, if I took it now, I get about $400 a month. So folks, if you're working and you got a pension, look into it and make sure it's It's the way it should be. So then I questioned more. May of 2015, just last year, I lost something else very special to me, dear to me. And people might say, well, it's only a, but maybe it was only a, but it was precious to me. Because you see, every time I'd sit down, something would jump up in my lap. When I go to bed at night, when it was time for bed, 11:30 at night, she'd be waiting at my bedroom door, meowing, telling me it was time for bed. And if you haven't guessed by now, I lost my precious little cat Candy. And she used to meet me at the door in my library that goes to my garage. And she'd know when I was coming home because she'd hear the garage door go up. I think people down in Mount Pleasant Cemetery could hear it too. It was loud enough. But she'd hear the door go up. And as soon as I opened the door that goes from the library to the hall, there she would be sitting. And she'd know her human was home. The reason I lost her was because she was dying. She was almost gone when I got her to the vet. She had cancer and kidney failure. Two of the hardest things I've ever had to do was see my mother die, who died in my arms, knowing there was nothing I could do. And those who know me and those who don't know me, I'm a type of person, I feel like I've got to do something. I gotta make some difference. There's gotta be something I can do. I can't just sit here idly by, just watch. I got to do something. And the second hardest thing was when I brought Candy to the vet and had to put her down. That was hard. I sang to her. Now your mom might laugh at me and say, oh, she's gone out of her mind. But when I'd sing at home or when I'd be practicing like I was there the week for this special music, Candy would come in my sewing room where I'd practice, and she'd get up on the rocker, and she'd cuddle in, and she'd sit there, and she'd love to hear me sing. Matter of fact, sometimes she'd meow. She wanted to get her little 2 cents worth in. So I took her up in my arms at the vet, and as the doctor was giving her anesthetic, which they give to help her go to sleep, I started singing Jesus Loves Me. You see, Jesus loves the animals too. After all, he created them. And the tears were flowing down my face. And Bill, my brother, most of you have met my brother Bill. He was outside. He can't handle that stuff. So he was outside waiting. But I saw the tears in his eyes. And I was singing to her. And I had this peace that, yes, Jesus loves us. And he loves Candy. And he loves me. He loves all the animals. He loves all these children. That was a hard day. Very hard day. Still is. There's still days I go home and feel like I got to sing out Candy. I'm home. And I questioned the Lord more. I even got down on the floor. And I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? Mama's gone. My job is gone. Candy's gone. What else is there to take? Well, of course, no sooner had the words come out of my mouth. There in July, I had a major car accident, July the 1st. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What, you know, you don't have to browbeat me. Just come straight out and say it. The whole side of my car, and if someone on Facebook, Ron, you're on Facebook, you get on my Facebook and my photo albums, you'll see my car. Pictures do not do it justice. Brand new car, not even a year old. Well, just a year old. Same one I've got out there today. right from the front on the passenger side to the rear on the passenger side, gone. T-boned. But you know what? I walked away from that accident. I had a bad knee. I had some pain in the back and up in the shoulder, soft tissue damage. But I walked away, and I thanked God, because if Bill had been with me that day, he would have been really hurt. The guy ran a stop sign, doing 60. Then he decided, I'm not sticking around, and he backed down the road he ran a stop sign from. Right down the road he came up. They got the car. I had three witnesses. They got the car. Car had no insurance. But they, as far as I know right now, they have never caught this young man. But who knows, because there's been several driving around lately. Maybe he was one of them. Now, like Joseph, we discussed this morning in Sabbath school, like Joseph, I could have exacted revenge right there and then. I could have. Police came, fire department came, the paramedics came, and God bless the paramedics. Steve, what you do as a paramedic, may the Lord bless you every time you go. They are first responders, and they see things that we don't see. We see it all cleaned up. When the police came and took their statements, and he took mine, he said, how do you feel? He said, I guess you must feel some angry. I said, no, sir. I said, I have forgiven him. And I said, I'm leaving him in the hands of the Almighty God for him to deal with. Okay. Still don't see the reason that I had that car accident. 3 weeks later, after waiting 2 years, I finally get a call from St. Clair's Hospital. You're finally going to have your reconstructive surgery on your foot. And I said, oh my, what a year this has been. So I was laid up all summer. You guys never saw me at camp, and that's why I was not allowed to drive. Had the surgery July the 20th. Was only allowed to drive there around the middle of September. And I tell you, it was so good. Boy, was that ever good. And I want to thank God this morning for a brother that we live in the same house because we own the house, that took care of me, went down to Dominion, which is just down from my house, got the groceries, brought them up. He's 10 years older than I am, so he was 65 in August. Did all the cooking. And yes, folks, there was no burnt sacrifice. He did all the cooking. He cleaned as best as a man can. And I recuperated. Now, I still have some pain in my foot, especially with these shoes out. And I put on my, and I went and got groceries yesterday. It's going to take a while. I mean, after all, they cut the bone and they put a screw in there and then they put it back to normal. And then in October, guess what ran out? My severance ran out. Okay, Lord, what do I do? You said you're going to provide. Start providing. I had to wait 2 months before I could get any UI because of the severance that I had. I waited 2 months. And then when I waited the 2 months, I filed my report. I had to wait another 2 weeks because you don't get paid for the first 2 weeks of UI or EI, whatever they call it. UI is what I know it as. And in between all this, I found out my UI is only going to last for 23 weeks, not a year that I thought. And so that runs out in May, mid-May. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I got bills to pay. Oh, I'm ahead of my story. In November, I was on my way out in October, beginning of October. I was having some internal problems in the stomach area. Now, remember, all summer I've been laid up, either lying on my bed with the foot up, or I was lying in my chair with the foot up. So I'm pretty much not doing no activity, just hopping from the chair to the bathroom to the kitchen and back to the bed or the chair. So it was pretty much no activity. So my stomach started to get bad. And so I went to my doctor and she said, well, based on what your mom had, because mom had intestinal lymphoma, so we're going to check it all out. I love my doctor, I do. She don't take no back doors with her. So I checked it all out. Everything came back normal. So thank you, Lord. But in the meantime, I'm still feeling miserable. So when I was allowed to get back out there in mid-September, I was allowed to drive and everything else. I got a little bit of activity, but not much, because I still couldn't walk a whole lot on my foot. I was using a special shoe to walk for a while. And then in October, I went to get my flu shot at my doctor's. Now, I love breakfast. Can't wait to get out of bed for breakfast. Got up, had a great big bowl of cream of wheat cereal with an orange and some hot, you know, don't drink tea or coffee. I just drink hot water from the kettle. And I got dressed. I had to be out there for 9 o'clock. Got dressed. Drove from my house out to Major's Path. Had pulled the car over. I thought I was going to die. The pain in my stomach was so, so bad. I even said to my doctor when I got there, I didn't think I was going to make it. Well, she said, we've checked it all out. You have no cancer. But she said, I want you to do something for me. I said, okay, what's that? I want you to stop eating everything that has wheat and gluten. She said, give me about 2 weeks, see how you make out. Okay, I said to myself, well, she's a doctor, she might know something. Now, in between all of that, my brother was thinking the same thing. But I just laughed at him, right? Because he only had 5 years medical, so what does he know? So that day I went home. The only thing I had that had gluten was the cereal in the morning. I had nothing else with gluten, no bread, no baked goods, or anything like that. I ate within 24 hours. There was a big difference. Went back after 2 weeks. She said, don't want just what you have. She said, you have what's called non-celiac gluten sensitivity. I said, how long have I had this? She said, you could have had it for a while, just never noticed. And there's other things I noticed too, things without getting technical in the bathroom. But she said, I want you to go buy this book called Wheat Belly by Dr. William Davis. He's a medical doctor. He's a cardiologist. And she said, I want you to read it. Well, it's been 2 months now, almost 3 months, since I have been gluten-free. I have lost 16 pounds. I feel better. The extra tiredness I used to feel is gone. Even with my B12 shot, now it's gone. I still have my B12 shot. Thank the Lord, I got it the other day. And my stomach's doing a whole lot better. And my sugars have dropped. So I'm a diabetic as well. So my sugars have dropped nicely. And I said, okay, Lord, is that all you got left now for me? I hope. Let me tell you, it's been I won't complain. I mean, I won't say it was all rosy. But it was a change, because now I have to read everything. I went to the supermarket yesterday. I have to read everything, because it's in everything. It's in Campbell's soup. It's in everything. And so now I have to read, and it's a change. I was telling Steve earlier, first time I made a loaf of gluten-free bread, Leah, put it in my baking machine. Well, I gave it 2 hours, like you're supposed to. Went out, checked it 2 hours, no change. It was still just crummy. I said, that's no good, I got to throw it out. So I decided then, someone told me, well, you got to use xanthium gum. I said, okay, I'll put that in. Decided to do it by hand this time. Put one loaf of bread in the oven, regular oven. It come out, you could use it for a brick. I said, okay, enough of that. So then I started to go into the supermarket and look and see what was available and all that. So it's been a challenge this past 2.5 years. And then, of course, my UI ran out. Not my UI, my severance ran out. My UI, I'm on UI right now, but it's only good for 23 weeks. And I said, Lord, you only got a little bit of time left here. Because May is coming, and you know what happens in May? I don't have no more income. What am I going to do? I got bills to pay. Got a car payment. Got car insurance. Got house insurance. And even though bill helps, but, you know, between the two of us, we make the bills, right? And I said, Lord, what are you going to do? I need a job. I need something. Get me something. Even if it was just for a little while, at least it'll prolong my UI. I can drag that out a little bit more. And I said, you know, maybe even just a little something. You never know. I said, Lord, maybe you can arrange a way that it will work out for something permanent. Bill said to me yesterday morning when I checked my messages, he said, any bites? See, I've been getting lots of bites, getting lots of nibbles, but no catches. I said, no, bye, not yet. Went to the supermarket, came home, 4 o'clock yesterday. See how God works things? Right before Sabbath. At the last minute, right before Sabbath, because I don't like discussing stuff like that on Sabbath, right? Jobs and stuff like that. I get a call from the university. I start work on the 24th of January. It's only for a month. It's contract work. And it's filling in. And like the lady said at Human Resources, if the other lady who was out sick does not return, it could become permanent. Now, I could have been right happy, but the first thing I did was I went and prayed for the lady that could not go back to her job because she's sick. And then I thanked God. Now, I got to do a little bit of training. I'm 33 years in the alarm industry, using one way of computer stuff. Now I have to learn the banner system. I'm 55 years old. I said, Lord, are you joking? God never jokes. And I could almost hear my mom's voice in my mind when she say, with God's help, you can do it. Yeah, I know a bit about trials. Temptations. I have a cousin right now that's got about 5 weeks left to live. Only young. You know, I believe that trials, and we have many of them, and if you're not in a trial right now and you feel kind of left out, don't feel bad. Because just around the corner, just ahead, my friend, there's going to be something that God is going to allow to test you as he tested Abraham. You see, trials come only to make us strong in the Lord. It gives us character. And it brings us off the mountain. brings us down in the low valley. Because on the mountain, what are we doing on the mountain? Are we not happy and all go, go, go and excited? But down in the valley, what happens down in the valley? But I found out while I was down in the valley, I'm still there, that we are expected to carry out certain duties in the valley. It's a time to be excited. God has certain expectations when it comes to our attitudes and behaviors while in the valley of life. You know, many years ago, and you've all heard of the singer Dottie Rambo, I'm sure. She wrote a song that I love to sing, even sometimes when I'm on the mountain. It says, when I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with thee. But the Lord knows I can't live on a mountain, so he picked out a valley for me. It's dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines, and I question, Lord, why must this be? But then he tells me, there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trials for me. He leads me beside still waters, somewhere in this valley below. Then he draws me aside to be tested and tried. And in the valley, he restoreth my soul. I believe God gave Dottie Rambo a beautiful insight when she wrote that. And you know, that's exactly what Mr. Job did. Four things he did in the valley. The first one is found in Job chapter 1, verse 20. There must be a devotion to God. All that Job lost, all that I have lost, all that you may lose, we can react. Job could have reacted in anger. We could do the same in frustration. And many could turn on the Lord. Many of us might turn on the Lord. I could have turned on the Lord and said, Lord, this is all your fault. You let it happen. And curse his name. But Job didn't. His response was to go before the Lord in worship. He shaved his head, rent his clothes. Now, I'm not going to shave my head. I lost enough of that because of the gluten sensitivity. So it's coming back now, Lord. Here stays where it is. But they were acts to Job as a sign of mourning, that he was devastated. But the fact that he worshiped proved he was not broken. Continue to worship God, no matter where you are. In trials and temptations. When you think there's no way out, you open up the door and you see another closed door. Worship God anyway. The second thing he did, found in Job 1, verses 21 to 22, he had a dependence on God. There is absolutely, in all that happened that I told you about, absolutely nothing I could do. Absolutely nothing. I couldn't stop Mom from passing away. I couldn't stop my job from going. I could not stop my precious candy from dying. I couldn't stop the fact that I had to go gluten-free. I can't stop the fact that my severance had ended. I can't stop the fact that the government only going to give me 23 weeks. Bless their heart. Absolutely nothing I could do. I couldn't even worry, because what was worry going to do? What was worry going to accomplish? The only thing worry was going to accomplish was to make me sick. Worrying over something I could never do. When Job opened his mouth, it was not to complain or to whine. When he spoke, it was to praise the Lord, to declare his continued dependence upon the power and will of God. I had to say, Lord, I can't do anything. is in your hands. I give it all over to you. I'll do what you want me to do, but you're going to have to show me where to go, what to do. And I said, Lord, if it gets to the point that I have to go on welfare, so be it. Whatever your will is, because I know you have a plan. The third thing was in Job 2, verses 8 to 10. There must be a diligence before God. While it is true that men are to trust in the Lord for everything, we are still expected to do all we can. You see, in Job chapter 2, verse 8, Job was found sitting in the ash pile, scraping his sores with a piece of broken pottery. He can't do very much, but even in his valley, he's doing all he can. I couldn't do very much, but I did what I could and still am. Be diligent in your walk with the Lord, and he will surely bless and use us for his glory. And number four, found in Job chapter 2, verse 10, there must be a declaration about God. You see, Job never badmouthed the Almighty. He never stopped praising him, even during the darkest hours of his trial. And the great faith that Job had, you can read about it in Job chapter 1, verse 21 and Job 2:10. You know, folks, we all would do well to remember that one of the surest ways out of the valley is to exalt the name of the Lord. A saint who learns to praise him, even in the midst of trials and difficulties, is one who's not even aware that they're in the valley. I gotta tell you, I've had fun this past 2.5 years in the valley because I've seen what God can do. I can see what God has been teaching me, what he's told me I've had to learn. And believe it or not, it's just not me that he's teaching. He's teaching it to my brother as well. Because he's in it with me as I go through all this. And he's teaching him stuff too. And we're teaching each other. If things are rough around your place right now, if you're in one of life's deep, deep, dark valleys, you need to bring it all to him, to the Lord. Let Jesus take that burden from you. Just lay it at his feet. I close my eyes and I can actually visualize myself. Like in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian was taking off the burdens, taking them off his back, laying them down at Jesus' feet. We are not meant to take burdens. Jesus is the burden bearer. He says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and I'll give you rest. 1 Peter 5 and 7 tells us to cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. You know, folks, I know sometimes it's hard to have patience. We just got to look at Abraham and didn't have patience to wait for what God had promised. Him and Sarah decided to go about it their own way. But I found when I go about it my own way, I end up in trouble. I'm right back to square one. I let God do it. And I remind him of his promises. And I say, Lord, you remember this promise you said to me in Isaiah 43. And with this I close. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He didn't say we wouldn't pass through them. He doesn't say that we're not going to go through the rivers. He didn't say we're not going to walk through the fire. He didn't say that the flame would scorch us. What he did say, I will be with you. The rivers won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And the reason? Want to know why it won't? Because he is the Lord God. He is our Savior. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is our coming King. And very soon, those clouds are going to open. And we're all going to see how great and mighty He is. And we're going to say, He is my God. I waited for Him. When you fall into trials, bring it to Jesus and go on and ask the Lord. He'll work things out. Believe. Have faith, just the size of a little mustard seed. And if you find sometimes, like I have done, I think, oh, well, they're going to go for a job interview. Well, they're not going to hire me. I have to look up and I say, Lord, forgive me for doubting. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. May the Lord bless you this morning. And may you realize that in this time of the end, that all we have left is Jesus Christ. All we have left is His arms of love. And He's got big shoulders. Let me tell you, He's got big shoulders. And if He can take the weight of the world upon His shoulders, He can take our petty little trials and keep focused on the cross. Keep your focus on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. There's better days coming. There's going to come a day. And I think God has been preparing me with all of this for the actual end time. When we can't buy nor sell because we don't take the mark of the beast. He's learning me now how to rely on Him, to trust Him more than I ever did. He's learning me that I can't do nothing in and of myself. That He's the only one. He's the one can make and break. I can't make someone give me a job. Neither can you. But God can. And that person won't even know that he's being used by God. Trust in Him, especially now as we're in the time of the end. Lean on Him. Stand firm. As our closing hymn, number 509, says, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more? What more can He say than to you He has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled, fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. The one thing I didn't mention just came to my mind. The 2 months that I had no income, my brother footed all the bills that I had. Now, he doesn't get much. I mean, it's like he was working with the university. He worked with the university, by the way. But he was getting a nice, comfortable amount for a single person. But there was money there. He had money there. God provided the money there for all of my car payment, my health insurance, the house insurance, the car insurance, the cable, the phone, 2 phones, my cell, the landline, the council tax, which thank God we just paid yesterday. Amen. That's done and over for 6 months. And you know something? When we went to the grocery store, we had more than we normally get. God provides. God provides. We just have to trust Him. We have to forget our foolish ways and wanting to do things on our own. We just have to trust Him and wait. And He'll let us know. Even if He's 4 days late, folks, He's still on time. When through very trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume, thy gold to refine. I love living in the valley. Just some fun living in the valley. Just some fun. Because I see what Jesus, how He loves me. And what He's going to do. Because what He does is what's best not what we think. We don't know nothing but what's best. And I pray that I always will trust him. As the mark comes into play upon this world, my prayer is that each one of us here today, we're asked to make a decision. Will it be for Christ or will it be for the world? I pray that each one of us will stand and say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Dismiss us now, Lord, with your blessing. Increase our faith. Multiply our faith, Lord, I pray. And give us wisdom, Lord Jesus, to trust in you more. In Jesus' name, amen.